I'm Marty Moscoe-Wayne. Welcome to Radio Times. Most of us are employees working for someone else. Then there are others who have that entrepreneurial spirit and flair with ideas and a passion about starting and running their own business. I am not one of those people, but two of my guests are. Tayyip Smith is founder of Little Giant Creative here in Philadelphia. And unlike other businessmen, he did not go to business school or graduate from college. After a stint in the Navy, he started 215 Magazine about music, art, and culture. He received a grant from the John S. and James L. Knight Foundation to open the Institute of Hip-Hop Entrepreneurship for young people from non-traditional backgrounds using a hands-on approach. The first class begins this fall, November 12th. And Tayyip Smith, nice to have you with us on Radio Times.
Thanks for having me.
You're very welcome. Also with us is Sadiq Moore, owner of Sadiq's Real Fruit Water Ice. He worked for one of the food trucks when he was a student at Temple University on the campus. He bought a water ice truck and is now in the process of opening a store in West Philadelphia. And he very generously brought us some samples of some of his water ice. And Sadiq Moore, nice to have you with us on Radio Times.
Thank you. Nice to have me.
Nice to have you here. Also with us is Tiffany Spraggins Payne, and she's director of programs at the Enterprise Center here in Philadelphia, working with aspiring entrepreneurs. And Tiffany, nice to have you with us on Radio Times as well.
Thank you for having us.
Tiffany, let me begin with you. Is this a good time to start a business in Philadelphia?
This is the optimal time to start a business in Philadelphia. There are so many wonderful resources that are made available to not only startups, but emerging and mature firms.
And that's coming from what? From banks, from government, from other kinds of sources?
I would say across sector, most definitely there are a variety of resources out there. But if I may, I'd love to talk to you a little bit about the Enterprise Center.
Sure.
So the Enterprise Center's mission is to cultivate and invest in Philadelphia's minority and women-owned enterprises. We've been around for 25 years. We are historically known as the place of the American Bandstand.
You know, right where that is.
Oh, yes.
Right.
Dick Clark changed hands to Della Clark.
Arena. Yep.
Yes. And so, you know, we are West Philadelphia based, and we are governed by three core areas, which is business, capital, and community. So with that being said, we built capacity for businesses to compete for sustainable contracts, going back to your question, providing access to capital for growth and drive entrepreneurial spirit in neighborhoods to reinvigorate residents to take ownership of their communities.
I want to pick up on all of that. Tayyip, let me turn to you. And you have an interesting route into the business and what you were doing now. When you were a kid coming up, did you think, I want to be an entrepreneur?
I don't think I knew what the word meant, but I knew I wanted to own my own business. And I think both my parents had always encouraged me to be my own boss, or kind of instilled me that I was going to be in charge of something one day.
And you were homeschooled, right?
For a large portion of my
did
youth.
Did that feed that entrepreneurial spirit, do you think?
You know, my mother was a very independent thinker and probably ahead of her time. And she had always kind of had this attitude or belief that no institution was going to really have your best interest at heart. And we moved around a lot. For what now I understand were redlining issues, or, you know, the limitations, particularly for a single mom and trying to find housing or employment. So that situation puts you in such a precarious position in terms of being in a good school. I was homeschooled for a significant portion.
You spent some time in the Navy as well. Did that help you think about being an entrepreneur?
Talk about
an institution, right?
I think, you know, retrospectively, I rebelliously joined the military because I didn't want to be, you know, ironically, I thought I didn't want to be under the thumb of my parents' dominion. But then I gave myself to the government, which was like, you know, what are you thinking? But, you know, again, it put me in the mindset that I didn't want to be under someone else's thumb, or I wanted to have agency in the choices in my life. So
it's interesting what we can all learn from things that don't work out, or perhaps decisions that we make that were not the right ones at the time.
Yeah. Well, there are definitely positive things that one can get from the military. Like, I think in terms of working as a team or learning that you don't necessarily have to love somebody to work with them every day or do good work. You know, there were people that I respected immensely, but, you know, outside of the base, like, I wouldn't want to share air with them.
Sadiq, let me turn to you. And you, it sounds like you certainly got your start in the business that you have now when you were a student at Temple University. But when you were a kid coming up, what did you think you'd be doing when you grew up?
Actually, I wanted to be a firefighter. I mean, and when I look back on it, I mean, that I always wanted to help people, I mean, and save lives type thing. So that's one of my, as a childhood goal or dream was being a firefighter. And I think if it wasn't for my passion for this water, I probably would wind up doing that, and I probably would be really happy because just the thought of helping other people.
Sure, sure. Yeah. But it's interesting, you didn't do that, clearly, but you began working, I guess, when you were a student at Temple University on a food truck, those famous food trucks on Temple University's campus, the Turkey King.
Yes, Jeff the Chef.
And and so what did he teach you about having your own business?
Well, one of the things is working in close quarters. You know, I feel like if you can work for me, the things that I learned, I mean, he was like brutally honest and just so much goes on to in the food truck. The fact that if you can work in those kind of conditions, you mean, and keep up the pace and knock out the different orders as the students come in and faculty kind of thing, you can go anywhere. You mean, so I kind of learned how to more so deal with people, deal with volume and stuff like that.
How did you get into the water ice business?
Actually, I knew several people that was already like selling water ice. And, you know, the Philly water ice is a household tradition in Philadelphia. So we all grew up on water ice. I mean, so it just matters, you know, by me being a student, you mean, that I saw the opportunity for me to go ahead and bring that there. And that was my market because I started, like I said, started as a student in '93. And then I started doing the water ice in '95. You mean, and so that's how Sadiq's Water Ice was born.
But was it seeing a truck and saying, or a cart and saying, I'm going to do this?
Yeah, well, that's what I pride myself on with carts. I mean, I don't have a food truck. I mean, a water ice truck, and my thing was different carts. And I do all the different, you mean, events and festivals. So I'm more so not just a water ice company. I'm a marketing promotions company. I mean, and that's more so what I do in terms of with my niche. I mean, so with anyone that's having different events, festivals, I mean, grand openings, student activities, stuff like that, I mean, I provide my services and stuff that way.
Tiffany, let me go back to you. We heard from our other two guests about how they became entrepreneurs and started their own business. What's some advice for people just starting out? Maybe they got a great idea, but that's all they got.
Wonderful, wonderful question. First, I just want to start by saying that there aren't any barriers to entry. You do not necessarily have to go to business school in order to take that leap and start and operate your own business. But just some tips to really dive into and think about. One, you want to consider, do you have a product or service? If you have a product or service, is it a viable product? Could you actually see yourself making a living off of this product? Also, you want to consider thinking about who is your audience?
Or your customers,
who's your customers? You know, it's really important to know that because if you are looking to go all in and start your business, it's important to know your value proposition, as we call it, to know your niche, to know the things that's going to draw people in to want to buy your product, buy into your service. Also, you want to consider thinking about, you know, what is your growth plan? How are you looking to scale your business? Some people enter into starting their business with not really thinking about the end user in mind and not really thinking about, hey, you know, what happens if I can really grow this thing? Also, you want to think about early on, adopting the mindset of just being all or nothing. You know, it could be very challenging.
Well, let me toss that to you, Taib. And I mean, did you have a game plan? Did you have a business plan that you were working off of?
I mean, I think it would depend on what stage, you know, in my life. I prior to 215, I was in the music business.
That was the magazine that you had, yeah.
Yeah, but then also I used to work for a production company called Access Music Group. That was led by my mentor, Chauncey Childs. So they did music production and writing for artists like The Roots, Jill Scott, Erykah Badu, so
I've
on and so forth.
Them.
And, you know, that was a really special time in Philadelphia. You know, you had this ecosystem through the Roots organization, Larry Gold Studio, people like Richard Nichols, that whether we knew it or not, it was like a testing ground, you know, and we were able to learn from each other and collaborate with each other. And if anything, I think a lot of my success and a lot of my colleagues' success comes from being a part of a community of people. And a lot of people became like household names or international brands from that community, which is actually just a couple blocks from here.
Yeah, not far from here at all.
Yeah.
I mean, is it who you know or just being able to have and develop these relationships?
You know, who you know is relative, because I think there's a lot of cliches about, you know, knowing people and a lot of really bad ways that people can network. But, you know, oftentimes it's not just who you know, but like who are you getting your 10,000 hours with, and what type of trust or bond you're building in those relationships. You know, there's people I know who work all over the country, and you know, I recently worked on this project during DNC for an activation called Truth to Power, and a lot of the people that collaborated on that are people that I worked on the 2008 Obama campaign, or you know, I used to do parties with when I was in the music industry, and those relationships evolve, mm-hmm. and people's skill sets grow. But if you know someone does good work, you know, your reputation is really valuable, and that's a part of your brand.
We're almost up on a break here, Sadiq, but I'd love to have you just weigh in on that. The idea, I mean, I don't know how much of a solo entrepreneur you are, but how much do you think relationships matter?
Relationship that is everything. I mean, and actually I say relationships is more important than money. And you have to know that. I mean, because at the end of the day, the money doesn't mean anything, but do you have a good relationship, that's the money will come. So the relationships, having good, I mean, integrity in with everything that you do. And for me, I mean that, you know, I've been in business 21 years this year. And I'm the ultimate Philly Frozen Treat winner by BillyPenn.com 2016, you know. So, but the thing is that it's, that the relationship is more important than anything else, because if you rub somebody the wrong way, or if your customer service isn't there, all that is part of a relationship. So that's everything.
That's key.
That's gold.
That's Sadiq Moore, owner of Sadiq's Real Fruit Water Ice. Tayeb Smith, founder of Little Giant Creative, just got a grant from the John S. and James L. Knight Foundation to open the Institute of Hip Hop Entrepreneurship, which we'll be talking about. And Tiffany Spraggins Payne, director of programs at the Enterprise Center in Philadelphia, talking about being an entrepreneur. Stay with us. We'll be right back. This is Radio Times here on WHYY in Philadelphia. I'm Marty Moscow-Wayne. We're talking about the fact that you don't necessarily have to have a business degree to be an entrepreneur. Today, you can turn a great idea into a functioning business thanks to a bunch of things, including online courses and crowdfunding websites, sometimes the low cost of goods and materials. But being an entrepreneur isn't easy. Talking with Tayeb Smith, Sadiq Moore, and Tiffany Spraggins Payne. We want to hear from you at Radio Times at WHYY.org. And you can also tweet us at WHYY Radio Times. If you have an entrepreneurial story or idea, do join the conversation. We were talking during the break, Sadiq, about just some advice that you might have for someone just starting out.
Yes, for a person who has, for an entrepreneur, you have this burning desire, you know, this dream of wanting to do something. You mean whatever product or goods or services that you have. But one of the things that you have to realize, you have to recognize early on, is when you're looking to move this dream, this desire that you have to identify who you're talking to. Because you're going to ask people, you mean, tell them about your idea, what you want to do, you mean, you know, those kind of things. So you have to identify, it's two kinds of people. It's a person that's an entrepreneur, it's a person that needs a check. right? So you had to identify real quick who you're talking to, who you're consulting. Because if you ask a person who needs a check, now you have this entrepreneurial spirit, they're not going to give you what you need in order to keep pushing forward. I mean, the world to see your dream. They're going to tell you, no, you know, that's risky. That's, you got to stay on your job. I mean, work 40 years, look for retirement, et cetera, et cetera. Now, the flip side of that is the entrepreneur. You being an entrepreneur, you mean, and want to would be entrepreneur, and you consult an entrepreneur, you still have to be careful with that person also, because that person can give you all the entrepreneurial stuff, but they don't give you the other part that you need in terms of security and other things to consider. So you need to identify the two types, I mean, of things, of people, I mean, early on.
Let me segue back to you, Taib, and this is about this new venture that you have, the Institute of Hip Hop Entrepreneurship, the idea of finding, I guess, what, non-traditional students? Is that the right word? Looking to perhaps open some kind of a business or to learn more about what business can teach them?
A lot of it comes from personal experience. You know, Philly is a city that has averaged somewhere around 26 to 28 and as high as 32% poverty. You know, if you think of, I'm 45, throughout for more than four decades, we've hovered in that space. That's, you know, a quarter of the city.
Yeah.
So for people who come from undercapitalized communities that aren't vested or don't have the privilege or freedom to kind of take the time to figure out what you're doing. So our target audience is 18 to 32.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I think when we talk about it, a lot of times people think that we're speaking to people younger than that. But I think particularly for African-American and Latino communities, in your 20s, if you have two jobs, two relationships, you try out two cities, you're 29 and a half.
Yeah.
You know, so, and if you think about the high cost of a lot of programs in school and the our education system essentially being built on debt, how are we going to get, you know, people who are in poverty to create wealth or stability or have equity in their communities within a lifetime? So since I've been fortunate enough to escape poverty and escape those statistics, I feel compelled to do whatever it is I can to, you know, pivot the conversation or enlighten people to look at all these different examples where hip hop has shown people how you can take something from nothing and, you know, have agency.
Right. Let me turn back to you, Tiffany, and this is perhaps a boring question. But in fact, we're doing a show next week about financial either literacy or illiteracy, however you want to frame it. But the fact that most of us are not that great with money, and I'm assuming someone that's got some business idea or a budding idea for a new business, you have to have some basic understanding about finance and debt and how to manage all that stuff. What are some ideas?
Absolutely. And in fact, businesses at all levels of growth struggle with financial literacy. Quick fun fact, in 2014, the Small Business Administration found that minority-owned businesses are disproportionately denied credit, even when the factors such as credit scores, wealth, earned revenue has remained constant. The Enterprise Center has figured out a remedy for that. We pride ourselves on providing strong financial intelligence for our businesses and participants in the programs by giving them access to capital, patient capital, but then also arming them with the key tools to become successful.
How to manage that capital.
Oh, absolutely. That's core to what we do.
And Sadiq, not to get too personal here, but in terms of sort of just managing the finances of being an entrepreneur, of having a small business, what are some of the things that you have learned over the, 25 years you've been doing this? Pitfalls and the good stuff.
Well, you have to have an accountant. You have to have someone to go ahead and manage your stuff. You mean manage your enterprise. You mean as you're growing, regardless of how small, how large, I mean, that you get, you need someone to go ahead and manage that stuff. As entrepreneurs, we have many times that we find ourselves doing everything. but you can't really do everything. So therefore, you find you're the entrepreneur, you're the marketing person, you're the product, the production person, you're manufacturing, you're doing all the things, you mean, that the business, I mean, does, and then you'll find yourself being accounting, you mean, and different things. So therefore, something's going to fail. So if you're not the financial person, then you need to hire someone to do your finances. If you're not the marketing person, but you have a great product and other things, then you need to hire someone to do the thing that you're not so good with. But the other thing is, you still have to go ahead and learn and define what it means to do the finances. I mean, so that way you can. It has the checks and balances. So you have
keep an eye on who's doing your finances.
Absolutely. You don't give anybody a blank check.
Words to live by. Yeah. Taib, you want to weigh in on that at all? I mean, and I'm assuming if you got a great idea, you want to do it all. I mean, this is your baby, right? You want to manage it and market it and make sure that it's going to be okay. But I'm assuming, based on what Sadiq said, is you can overextend yourself, perhaps not get the right kind of expertise. You have a slightly quizzical look on your face as I'm asking you this.
No, I agree. Okay. I agree with him immensely. I was just thinking about me personally.
Yeah.
A lot of my success is directly related to my business partner, Megan Denenberg, who we operate as a yin and yang. So the things that
which one are you, the yin or the yang?
It depends on the day,
or maybe the time of day. Yeah, I don't know.
Good cop, bad cop, whatever. But the things that I'm not good at, she is, and vice versa. So I think it's really important as an entrepreneur to have humility and a certain level of common sense to know that you're not always going to be right, and to have checks and balances, or someone to call you out when you might be a little full of yourself. And that's definitely, you know, the key to Little Giant success is my partner, Megan.
Sadiq, when he said humility, you wrote that down.
Yeah, because you have to be humble in things, in terms of particularly, but you don't know everything. And the best thing to do is to recognize early that you don't know everything, and that way you can get help. If you don't come in with I don't know anything, you're not going to get the help that you need, whether that's financial help, you mean, or financial literacy, learning, you mean, about it, you mean, whatever it is. But you have, in order for somebody to help you, they have to know that you need help.
Right. So. Let me just reintroduce everybody, and we got some comments coming in here. And that's Sadiq Moore, owner of Sadiq's Real Fruit Water Ice. He's been in the business, if I can say that, for about 25 years
21.
Now. 21 years. Yeah. Began on the campus of Temple University working in a food truck there, and now he's about to open a store in West Philadelphia. Taib Smith, founder of Little Giant Creative, and he's starting the Institute of Hip-Hop Entrepreneurship, got a grant from the John S. and James L. Knight Foundation to open the Institute. It's for young people from non-traditional backgrounds using a kind of a hands-on approach. It's weekends. It's free. The first class begins on November 12th. They got something like 300 applications, and there are 30 slots, right?
Yeah.
So people know. And Tiffany Spraggins Payne, Director of Programs at the Enterprise Center in Philadelphia, working with aspiring entrepreneurs. And you can join us, send us an email, radiotimes@whyy.org, and you can tweet us at WHYY Radio Times. A tweet from the owner of Curve Conscious: I'm a recipient of a startup loan from at Philly Tech for my business. They're super helpful over there.
Wonderful.
Good to know. A question from Anonymous: when do you get investors interested in your business? Let me toss that back to you, Taib.
I think
Do you have people that have invested in your company?
In 215, there was a very large initial investment. In my co-working business, Pipeline, there's a group of investors. And Little Giant is completely solely owned by Megan and I.
Right. But how do you get people interested? How do you make the sales pitch? And Sadiq, I'll tell that to you as well.
I think that definitely depends on what type of business you're in. If you don't need to take on investment, I wouldn't encourage it. But if you need capital for a product, or if you need, you know, to scale, or there's definitely a need for capital in having a business or having a line of credit. But I think you have to have a plan or show that you're generating revenue, or there's a lot of elements for someone to invest in.
Sure.
And it just you know, it just can't be that you're a good person or that you got a good idea.
Or a good handshake or something like that.
Yeah, you've got to have like a P&L, profit and loss and,
all of that. Mm-hmm. You want to jump in on that, Sadiq? And then I'll get you in, Tiffany, as well.
Sure. In terms of for investment or investors, you know, you'll know when you need that or if you need it, you know, and I think that as an entrepreneur, you had this burning desire. You did it. I mean, early on, again, it's 21 years this year for me. I mean, so had I had some major investor, 15 years ago, then maybe things would have been a lot different. But everything is about your time. Mm-hmm. When is your time? And this is my time. You mean? And so the thing is that you have to know when you're going to go and do it. When your business takes off and it takes you into a different direction that you know that you need to go to this point. You have other goals and stuff. So you may not need an investor because you want to stay at this particular level. You mean, well, if I want to go to, for myself, I'm looking to go into the supermarkets. You mean, and I'm working on my franchise. I'm doing the renovations for my store at 60th and Irvin. You mean, and so the thing is, so I already have that. But the thing is, it depends on where you're trying to go may dictate as to what kind of financial help you may need, and everybody's case is different.
Well, it's interesting looking back, you know, if you had gotten a big stash of money 15 years ago, whether that would have been a good thing or not a good thing. Mm-hmm. Obviously, whatever you're doing it right.
Right, right, right.
Even though you might have been impatient along the way.
No, it was slow and steady. And that's the key, slow and steady. You don't want to grow in leaps and bounds because next thing you know, you get a big fall if you somehow took the elevator all the way up instead of going step by step. Yeah. Type thing, you know, so that's one of the points.
Go ahead, Tiffany. Looks like you want to add something.
Sure. I would say going back to echo Sadiq very early on about relationships, I think it's very important, just in my experience with working with entrepreneurs, it's very interesting to think that you need an investor when you absolutely, it is the last minute. But it's important to mine relationships very early on, really go deep, really find out who are the people, the organizations, the corporations and such that are interested, the angel investors alike who are interested in what I have to offer, my product or service. And, you know, going deep and understanding, like, where are they in the marketplace? How can they get behind what it is that you're doing and begin to foster those relationships very early on, make the ask very early on so that when that time comes, it's not a very, you're not straining a relationship. But if anything else, you're going into a very collaborative, co-opetition kind of space. Mm-hmm.
I want to tell you how much of, even looking back on your career and the various businesses you've been involved in, how much was luck of sort of meeting the right people at the right time or a happy accident? Is that also part of being in business?
Absolutely, but you have to be there. Do you know what I mean? So
to recognize it,
yeah,
right?
You can't be at home on the couch, you know, looking at the ceiling, thinking like, oh, I really want to be involved. You've got to be on the front lines, and people have to see that you have an interest. One of the things I think is really important, if you want to start your own business, like, work with somebody who has their own business. You know, like, I think people, a lot of times, just out of pride, people are afraid to ask for advice, you know. But if you want to get into the food business, like, reach out to Sadiq, and, you know, see if he needs additional help. Or if you want to work, if you want to be a photographer, even if you're good, work with somebody who's at the top of their game, because there's so much intuitive knowledge that people can pass on to you, or just through observation that you can pick up from working with somebody who's already been through the process.
Did you do that, Sadiq? I mean, did you have people that I'm sure you have, who have helped you along the way, or perhaps you didn't think this was going to be an opportunity, but there it was.
Yeah. It's about relationships. You mean, and so therefore, maybe someone didn't help you directly with something, but the fact that just in conversation, like even in this water industry, many of us know each other. You mean, and so just like example, Fred's Water Ice. I mean, he's a really good friend of mine. You know, people think that because you have your water ice business company and then I have mine, that we have to be against each other.
Right.
It doesn't work that way. You mean, so he and I, you mean, are, you mean, agree with, as a disclaimer, no, he didn't teach me how to make water ice or anything like that.
You're not that good in France.
Yeah, yeah, we're not, no. You mean, but again, and we make two different types of, two different kinds of products. But the point is that, you know, it's about, again, the relationship. So therefore, if I need, you know, 500, you mean, pounds of sugar or something like that, you mean, you can go to a person, you mean, you know, that you have this relationship with to get whatever you need. If I need cups or I need whatever it is. So
I have some friends who have a small store. And I mean, if there's bad weather or there are these seasonal things, things that a business person or entrepreneur, Tiffany, just cannot control. You
Absolutely.
Know, and there are things that you just have to sort of roll with it and be confident, I guess, and perhaps even keep your fingers crossed that you'll get through this rough patch.
That's right. And actually, just, you know, thinking about all of the programs and resources that the Enterprise Center offers, we are really in the business of developing efforts around accelerating the capacity of minority entrepreneurs, or minority enterprises, rather. And so with that said, we try really hard to build a community where entrepreneurs can really kind of lean in and support one another through education, through management support, through connecting to industry and content experts. That is really key to helping entrepreneurs really get to that next level of scaling their business, but more importantly, sustainability.
Well, let's take another short break and then we'll get back to our conversation. We're talking about being an entrepreneur, or thinking about being an entrepreneur, what it's like to be an entrepreneur. And again, our guests are Sadiq Moore, owner of Sadiq's Real Fruit Water Ice here in Philadelphia, Taib Smith, founder of A Little Giant Creative. And again, he's got this Institute of Hip-Hop Entrepreneurship about to open in the fall. And Tiffany Spraggins Payne, director of programs at the Enterprise Center here in Philadelphia. And again, we want to hear from you. Send us an email, radiotimes@whyy.org. And you can tweet us at WHYY Radio Times. Tell us about your entrepreneurial ideas, things that worked out, things that didn't. Stay with us. Much more after the short break. We'll be right back. This is Radio Times here on WHYY in Philadelphia. I'm Marty Moss-Cohen, talking with our guests in this hour of Radio Times about what it takes to be an entrepreneur, especially here in Philadelphia. And you can join us at radiotimes@whyy.org. And you can also tweet us at WHYY Radio Times to join the conversation. I wonder to you, Taib, whether there have been times when you wondered, is this going to work out? Did I make the right decision? Am I working with the right people? Are people going to want what I have to offer? I mean, the kind of self I'm just looking at your face. I'm thinking, I know the answer to that, but go ahead.
Well, I think I could, the answer to that is 215, 215, 215. I mean, we started that, I think we started talking about it probably in 2006, got the website up in 2007.
And that's the area code, we should say,
yeah,
for Philly.
And the print edition, I don't know if it came out in probably 2007. And throughout that process, there was a lot of naivete and a lot of, you know, kind of really bold ambitions. But not having, let's say, the business acumen or the fiscal responsibility or really understanding contract law. And just a host of different things where, for me, if my time in the music business was like college, that was graduate school as an entrepreneur. I don't look at things as experiences with regret, you know, because a lot of people, like even if you look at the Philadelphia publishing community, mm-hmm. like I always see bylines or photography and stuff like that. And, you know, there's a host of people and now moving into their 30s who got their first tear sheets from 215. So it was successful, but financially, it was a disaster.
It's something, obviously, that you learned from.
Yeah.
And those are important experiences. Sadiq, you've been talking a lot, especially when we're off the air, about the importance of giving back and the kind of giving back that's part of your business model.
Mm-hmm. again, what I'm doing, I'm working on doing a renovation for my store at 60th and Urban. And if you recall, it was half a block up from where the police officer got shot. I mean, tragic incident. And so with me deciding to put my product there, people say, well, why don't you go down to Old City? Why don't you go down, University, Penn? You mean, and my thing is making a difference in the community. So we all the renovations and the redevelopment and of the 60th Street corridor, my thing is being, I'm a stakeholder. I'm from West Philadelphia, and I'm a stakeholder in the community. So my thing is from Spruce to Locust, that's Sadiq's Water Ice District. Yeah, man. And my thing is being the anchor. I'm very serious.
I appreciate that.
Is being the anchor store. You know, every strip mall has an anchor store. And so Deeks Water is the anchor store for the community. So that's my thing, is making a difference and inspiring people, young people. You mean, who may have police records and things like that. Entrepreneurship is the way to go. So that's my thing, is being the model and to show people how they can make money on top of the table, and their life isn't over because they made some stupid decisions. But many times that's what people do, and that's what the inner city is plagued with, that kind of challenge. And they actually call it trapping. You mean, meaning selling drugs, they call it trapping. Mm-hmm. And so, but what they don't realize is once you get a record that you're part of the trap. You mean, and that's the case. But the thing is, I have a solution. The solution for that is entrepreneurship. Mm-hmm. So whether you become a tow truck driver, or you go into construction, or you go into other various things, people need to see solutions of what they can do, and entrepreneurship will help them, and that way they'll be more productive citizens, et cetera, for their community and everyone else.
Well, Tiffany, as we certainly know here in Philadelphia, I mean, Center City is alive with a lot of businesses and activity, and some of these more outer neighborhoods are struggling. What I hear certainly from Sadiq is using entrepreneurship to revitalize some of these areas, be an anchor, as he says.
Absolutely. And actually, just eight blocks up from Sadiq, the Enterprise Center serves as a corridor manager for 52nd Street, that business corridor, which has historically been a historically black, thriving corridor. And now, unfortunately, it's at a 30% commercial property, 30% commercial property vacant rate and blight. And so what the Enterprise Center has really done is got in to the community, dug a little bit deeper again, worked with business owners on the corridor, one-on-one, sitting down with them, helping them to figure out what their challenges are, meeting them head-on, deconstructing business plans, helping them revitalize their actual storefronts, actually providing support certification and such to the vendors that are on 52nd Street, designing new carts and things that will make it very attractive and accessible to those vendors.
Taib, you wanted to add something.
Yeah, just to his point about community development. I'm in the Institute, but actually next week I start a program at University of Chicago for the Esther Gates Place Lab Salon for Equitable Community Development. Mm-hmm. So I'm going to be going to Chicago once a month to work with city planners and just a host of different people from multiple disciplines to talk and come up with best practices to some of the points he was making about how to self-gentrify neighborhoods.
Self-gentrify.
You know what I mean? So people can lift up neighborhoods. And also, I think if historically, if we think about all of the traditional African-American corridors, whether it was Cecil B. Moore, Ridge Avenue, 60th Street, 52nd Street, in the 20th century, redlining and government policy systematically removed business and livelihood from those corridors. And whether it was the GI Bill, the Mortgage Act, a host of public policies where private institutions, banks, and public figures worked in collusion to exclude Black and Latino people from the 20th century economy. I mean, there's even cases like Reverend Leon Sullivan. Mm-hmm. It took him, I think a year and a half and 400 ministers from the region just to get three African-American carpenters on the build-out for Strawberry Mansion High School, and they knew the high school was going to be for, all for African-American kids. Yeah. So we don't even really understand how public policy manufactured urban poverty to a certain degree and subsidized the wealth of the suburban rim. So in our communities, a lot of people don't really understand how we've come to this current situation.
And it's so interesting, I mean, to talk about what you all are doing now, but putting it into that context. Let me read some more comments here. A tweet from Sister Dr. Kelly. Do you have any suggestions for a small apartment rental business expansion financing for more houses? Rather than being really specific about that, Tiffany, but what I hear from our guests is what it takes to expand, sort of knowing when you're ready to take that next step. Are there some things that people can think about?
I would say in a residential area, it's very important to connect to your local community association. And also looking at either elbow to say, you know what, is this something that my neighbors can also support me in? When looking at commercial properties, it's important to, again, have some expertise at the table.
Right.
Seek out opportunities from local CDCs to, you know, get some low cost yet of high impact education around how do you revitalize a commercial property? But then also, who's going to buy into that? Is this something that the community wants and needs?
So sort of really understanding that larger context. I wanted to both of you, Taib, and also to you, Sadiq, which is, do you work 24/7? I'm looking at you, Sadiq. Do you do things that are not related to your water ice business?
It's not really? You mean do...
Yes. Is your business all consuming?
Yes.
Yes.
And it's been consuming for 21 years.
So 24/7, this is what you do.
It might be more than 24/7. if you can do that. It feels like that sometimes. You know, and you have to make sure that you learn how to have the balance. And I'm still working on that. And my thing is that I'm a workaholic. And I realized that, a few years ago. You know, and I think that's one of the things. But
find that balance.
Yeah. And especially when you have a passion for what you do and you love doing it. And I think that's one of the things that helped me to keep doing it because I have the passion, but you got to make sure that it makes financial sense also.
Yeah. How about for you, Taib?
I'm getting much better at quality of life. I think there was a time, probably my 30s.
It's taken time though, right?
What's that?
It's taken some time to find that balance?
Yeah. And just, you know, I think it makes you easier to work with. Yeah, at those times, my partner will look at me and she's like, "You should go out of town."
Time for a vacation or
not even
something.
Vacation, just like a longer weekend or just work from a different place. But there was a time where I was completely consumed, like eyes open to eyes closed. Where now I think it's probably a different format because I'm usually thinking about work or thinking about creating another business or thinking about a strategic partnership or doing research. So I'm still doing something that's, a part of what it is I do for a living, but I don't always need to be at an office in the 21st century and so many different ways to communicate.
When's the last time you took a vacation? An actual vacation? Where you went somewhere.
I probably went last year. I think I went Miami's my second favorite city other than Philadelphia. So I think I went to Miami like 7 times last year.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm going. Let's say a staycation.
Okay. Yeah. A staycation. How about for you, Sadiq? When's the last time you took a vacation?
Last time I took one. It might have been the first time I took one. And that was last year when we took the whole family to Disney World.
Oh, there you go.
You know what I mean? So that was the first time, and
was that hard for you?
It was hard, but it was rewarding and stuff, so that was enough for that. My thing is to go ahead and get back to work.
Wait another 20 years.
I'm not going to do that. It was really nice, but I wanted to make sure that I do more of it. But that's the challenge, especially when you're in a seasonal business. And the best time to go ahead and enjoy anything, you're in your season.
Right.
So there's different challenges to that, for the entrepreneurship.
Let me read a couple of comments. An email from Christine. What would your guests recommend about the pace of invention and getting it to the market before the competition does? Do I give up on this because they beat me to the market? Do I find a new audience? Now, we don't know what she's marketing, but I guess there is that question about – not just competition, but is there a need for whatever it is that I want to do? How does someone figure that out, Tiffany?
I would say through, prototyping. It's really important to go lean first before you actually go in and invest your money, an absorbent amount of money into a product or a service. Testing the market, maybe create a physical mock-up of what it is that you're looking to sell to the market, and then maybe just start small with your friends, your family, your network. See how, get their feedback and then build from there. I hope
that's
helpful.
Friends and family. Yeah, absolutely. A question from Kevin. How do your guests reach out to children, youth, to get them interested in starting businesses? In certain ways, Tabe, this is what you're going to be doing with your Hip Hop Institute.
I call people who are 18 to 32 youth, but
yes.
So even at Little Giant, our specialty is youth, and by youth I mean 18.
Younger than you?
Yeah, I'm 45, so I've been fortunate that I work in contemporary culture, and my company specializes in cultural competency, whether it's for brands, nonprofits, institutions. So below 18 is really not my specialty, but I think, if you look at some of the people that I've mentored, there's a young gentleman by the name of Gianni Lee. He has a clothing label called Babylon Cartel. There's another gentleman named Yusuf Muhammad, who's an event promoter, and he works around the country. There's many different DJs or musicians that I've mentored over the years. Young gentleman from Ill Vibe Collective named Matthew Law. I have colleagues I work with, Sonny James. He's been almost like my resident DJ since 2004. We worked together with Triple Five Soul, with Scion, for events, for Nike, for Heineken for 7 years. So, again, that's an ecosystem. It's a crew, but there's always people coming in and out of those circles.
Sadiq, we're almost out of time, but I'm interested in your response to that question.
My thing is with having a seasonal business, having these different carts and things like that, you have a challenge, and one of the challenges are generally you have the people that are 14, 16, early teens, who don't have the business or the discipline, to do, or the work ethics, per se. But then you have people that's older, type thing, who are more dedicated, who already have work ethics and stuff like that. So for me, one of the things I'm looking to do is to have a school/training. It's a Deeks Ward Ice Camp. Whereas though that I'm teaching them, that's right, you can hear it right here. Whereas I'm teaching them entrepreneurship, and I can get paid for it, because I can't get paid for it by having them work on my different locations and stuff like that, because they don't know anything. So therefore, I had to change gears a bit. Now I know they're going to go ahead and rob and duplicate, but I got so many ideas in my head that is just spilling out. But I'm just saying that that's one of my things to go ahead and to do, because that's one of the challenges that I recognize that I have. But I want to make sure that I'm making a difference, in terms of with the people, with the younger people, with the entrepreneurship, type thing. Yeah.
That's the perfect way to end our conversation. My thanks to all three of you for joining us. Sadiq Moore, thanks for coming in.
Thanks for having me.
Good luck with all those ideas. Yeah, okay. Owner of Sadiq's Real Fruit Water Ice here in Philadelphia. Taib Smith, thank you for joining us as well.
Thanks for having me.
You're welcome. Founder of Little Giant Creative, which is here in Philadelphia. And again, the John S. and James L. Knight Foundation has funded the Institute of Hip Hop Entrepreneurship, something that he's certainly started. And Tiffany Spraggins Payne, thank you for joining us as well.
Thank you. My pleasure.
You're welcome. Director of Programs for the Enterprise Center here in Philadelphia. Go to whyy.org/radiotimes and you can find out much more about the program, how to download a podcast of the show, find us on Facebook, follow us on Twitter, sign up for the newsletter, and listen to us on satellite radio. I'm Marty Moscoane. Thanks for joining us.